Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Let me bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. The Dream Team is back. We got Greg Romero Wilson with his Christmas sweater. We have Ween Dog, Joseph Aaron Phillips Perez. Yep. It's going to be, we got Don Fry coming soon, McCorkle, Tom Colicchio. It's a good, we got a pretty stacked show.
Nice.
Good to see you guys. Good to see you guys. How's it going?
Great, dude.
How's it going with you, man?
Yeah.
Dude, what's going on with the special? Let's get right to what people need to know. What's going on with the special?
I'm super happy about it, man. They released it last night.
It did get released last night. Jesus H. Okay. I was looking for it all day. I'm like, where is it? You told everybody. Everybody reposted it. Everything. I signed up for my free trial. I go to find it. And I was like, where the fuck is the fucking video? But they put it up. It's out. It's actually out.
You can watch
it. Yes.
Ween Dog watched it right today, right?
Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of positive comments, a lot of feedback. Even somebody who didn't like it was like, actually like, you know what? It was funny. Not my cup of tea. I'm more of a storyteller person, but it was like a polite diss. I was like, you know what? Fucking cool. You know, like,
you know what? At least, you know why? Cause you got to respect the work. You know what I mean? You can't just crank out that kind of volume without a ton of work. You know, and so specific to the UFC. That's the other thing, to have this kind of tailored work. You have to respect the effort at the least. Not, you know, at the very least, you got to respect the effort.
No, so I'm not going to focus on that one negative. It was like
good, because it's so easy to focus on that.
So easy to find out the person that left the room and not the 90 people that stayed and loved it. I'm super, super thrilled. Thanks to Dana, thanks to the UFC, thanks to all the fighters who are tweeting about it, tweeting, even people that I like made fun of are constantly like tweeting about it. Like a lot of, you know, you, Greg, tweeted out Theo Vaughn, Joey Diaz, people that like I haven't talked to in a while have been super, it was awesome. Scott Baio and Devin Sawa and a lot of Juliana Pena and Sarah McMahon. I was just like, it's been super cool. Frankie Edgar, all these fighters that like, and the list goes on. Rashad Evans,
Ian Edwards, who's not a fighter but a brilliant comedian and a great friend. He gave you a retweet, a shout out about it. I love that.
Sam Tripoli. I'm forgetting a lot of people.
The entire fight community. So many MMA fighters tweeted out. It must be so awesome to see that as such a big UFC fan.
It's amazing. I mean, I asked a lot of them to.
That's kind of obvious, but they still did it. And I think the best thing I saw was like, seeing as how pretty much everyone in my feed today is telling me about Adam Hunter's special, I better go watch it. And I get it. I mean, you have so many fighters. Yes, you asked them to, but they did it because of what you give to them. You know, I mean, it's a two-way relationship, and I to see them respond that way, I think was a testament to the hard work you put into this podcast.
So last night I'm in my hotel room taking a bath, which is kind of gross, but whatever. So
At what point did you get your period? Let's back up to that.
So
and then, you, of course, the, like, ball, the bubble course, bath
like,
and whatever.
Right when it drops, right? So I hit up Chael Sonnen. Hey, brother, can you please tweet this out, you know, my special dropped and thanks a lot. Yeah, yeah. I really appreciate it, man. If you can't understand. So he just copies and pastes the whole thing. So then
including tweets, what you said.
Yeah. So he tweets out, hey brother, can you and I'm like, Bubba, and like and now everybody's screenshotting it. And they're like, oh, I wondered why everyone had this same message. I'm like, which is better than people thinking that I paid them. I mean, I got accused of paying people. I didn't pay anyone to fucking do that. So I'm like, or the UFC paid them. So I'm like, I call Chael. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He starts laughing. He's like, what do you mean? He didn't know. I go, bro, you just put the, you gotta like copy and paste. He goes, oh shit, sorry, man. Like, so then, like, then he redid it. And then people were like, I like the first post better.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, I got that is literally this emoji, this one.
Oh god,
that is literally that emoji. That's all you can do for that.
And then people are calling. I know, but look, Chael also tweets me out a lot of times. Hey, my submission fighting. You know, I do a lot of. You know, it's a back and forth thing. But yeah. But I'm like, holy shit! It was like it was funny though, because people are calling him boomer and like, dude, do you not know how the internet works? Like all this fucking.
I know it's like some people just weren't made for this era.
Oh, it was so funny. So I'm
one of them. I say that, and I'm one of them. I would love to not be in this era of a million other technologies to master. You know,
a guy who accidentally gave away a lot of his crypto and is trying to get it back.
still in the process, huh? Still no luck.
I'm like, I'm talking to the Winklevoss. Anyway, so that's a whole other thing. But I'm trying not to get my like I'm on a super high right now, but I've learned, you know, Greg, I'm sure you 22 years in the business, 23 years. You don't get your highs too high, your lows too low. You know, like you just kind of like,
yeah,
I'm super happy. I'm not trying to make like a victory lap. I'm just trying to like, okay, you know, I'm super happy that I was able to be the first comic to ever have a special on this medium. Also, dude, because
that's such a huge, unbelievable big thing, man. I mean, you went through the hardest version of it too, with the face mask and the spread out audience. And, you know, I mean, you definitely, you know, everybody wants to be second in the pool. Nobody wants to be first, because the first guy's got to, you know, you deal with all the glitches. You know, but you did it, man. You're still the guy to plant the flag.
It's a lot of love also, because, you know, I came out to LA 12, 13 years ago. I had a lot of opportunities that I didn't land, you know, and I almost sometimes you think of like, you know, you did the industry pass me by, or like Comedy Central isn't giving me the look that the ones, or Netflix, and everyone wants like the new shiny object and this one new. And it's just nice to like, still like not be like, okay, you know, this door is closed for me, or it's not opening right now. All right, let's go through this window or this door. So it's nice to have the support from, you know, Dana and the UFC to actually let that happen, which is really cool, because it's like so much of it. I mean, people think that like, oh, I'm just the guy who tweets funny things and they just gave me a special, you know, like, you don't realize it. Like, I started this in 1999, you know, doing laundromats, supermarkets and donut shops. And then since then, the amount of failure between, you know, like having 4 callbacks from Montreal 7 years in a row, and getting a menu thrown on my head, the final callback by a woman in the crowd, or, you know, having to be on Last Comic Standing 3 years in a row and telling you, hey, you're on the show, and then calling you up, you're off the show, but you told me I was on the show. The judges put me through. Sorry, that's our rule. But I called, you filmed me calling my family saying I made it to the finals. Well, behind, like, I mean, just from, you know, that's a whole fucking podcast in itself, to you know flying to England and then getting detained at the airport and sent home and not paid, to doing sleeping in my cars and fucking doing shows where 3 minutes in they yank the mic from you, or getting booed off stage, or fly. I mean, I could go with this could be a 12-hour podcast of just, if you actually want to watch my Brendan, I did a podcast with Brendan Fitzgerald, who I did an hour and a half on, like, the journey of just every shitty fucking event that happened in comedy. Listen to that, because it's because it's a fight podcast, yada yada. So it's nice to like know that, okay, you know, basically I feel like guys like me and you and other guys, and I'll put Shang in that category of like, you end up winning the fight not because you beat your opponent, but because he broke his hands on your face. And can't so now you've won the fight because he is unable to fight anymore because his hands are broken from kicking you in the head so much, yet you're still there, you know?
Yeah, but you're still there. You're still there. You're still standing. Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of those people who did get those, like, quick, we see it all the time, those guys that get shuttled into the front and they're not even doing comedy anymore because they've had the Netflix or the this or that or this, that, but they didn't have the actual, you know, the craft. They didn't have the...
Well, I mean, listen, Comedy Central, you know, gives half hours to guys every single year, and then these guys can't go out and get work on the road because, you know, because they don't have an hour and they're not very good, you know, but... You know, they were the new thing. And so they were just so eager. You know, they checked off other boxes besides actually being good at stand-up. And that was the thing that I said in my post was you're here to show the world that stand-up comedy is still funny. Because there are so many specials that it seems like the decision was made on everything but whether or not it was actually funny.
Yeah.
Comedy. You know, it's weird that when decision makers start making those decisions, they start weighing all these, and it happens in comedy contests all the time. They start taking into all these other factors besides what was actually funny. What did the audience actually laugh at?
Yeah.
That becomes like the last thing they think about, you know, when in fact it should be the only thing that they think about. And that's what your special does. And that's what it's going to prove, I think, to the world at large.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. By the way, I got hooked into like, so by the way, I talked about Scott Mayo. This is kind of, so me and Scott have been friends. So Scott Renee called me up. They're like, hey, our daughter outgrew her bed. Do you want a bed? And we, you know, we have a crib for our baby. So I'm like, yeah, 100%. So we go over there. I go on this website where you could like Task Rabbit or something. You could hire someone to do a chore for you. And I drive out to the valley with my daughter. And, you know, Scott has his clothes and a bed and this and all this stuff. And he's the nicest. Scott and Renee are so nice. So they take a picture. You know, and then all of a sudden I realize they put, I'm on a picture on Scott's Twitter feed of Scott's fighting with some comedian from Philadelphia who, and Scott goes, hey, I can get an even better comic than you to come to my house and who I'm like friends with. And the guy's like, yeah, who? And I go, no, it's me and him. And he goes, mic drop. And they post like my, and I'm like, now I'm like, I got used as like the, which I don't mind.
How do you do it, Adam? How do you constantly step in shit? And it's almost like you're wearing shit magnet shoes.
So, and now I got all these,
like, how are you doing? All you did was go pick up a bed and you wound up in a beef. This is unbelievable.
And now I got all these Trump people that like love me because like, oh yeah, you know, you're the Trump comic. I'm not the Trump comic. Like, I'm the comic. And all people are like, fuck this guy. And I never heard of you. And then it's like they post a picture of me on the Tropicana on the billboard, like oh wow, all the big comics now play the Tropicana, and then people are now like fighting about the Tropicana. Well, if it's good enough for Aretha Franklin, I'm like, how the fuck that, like, now I'm in this like war. But the guy was a nice guy, the guy from Philly, a black comic, I don't know who he was. He goes, you know, Adam didn't sign up for this beef. He has no idea, like, because they've been feuding, Scott and this guy, for like for weeks. Like, now I'm in the, and God bless Scott Mayo and Renee because they're beautiful people, and I would have been in this beef on there. I'm friends. I don't care. I don't mind. I honestly, and the bed is, my kid loves the bed. Like the bed is so cozy. We sleep in the bed. It's better than my bed. Like, my wife and I, like, we would take turns in that bed because it's better than our bed. So, but it was just like, I got, now I'm, it's like a Larry David thing. I feel like I'm in now a, like some kind of weird, anyway. All right. I do miss my kid on the road though. Holy shit, I missed the kid.
Like, you're gone for like a whole week, right? In Vegas?
Yeah, I haven't been gone in forever. Last night, John Wood came to my show with the girl who, his girlfriend, JoJo Calderwood, who's bad mofo JoJo, who's beautiful, by the way. And
I gotta be honest though, I'm not seeing a lot of masks in your photos, bro.
Well, their whole team got COVID, the whole gym. So
so you were like, hey, no mask, no problem.
This no, just with them. No, just with them.
Oh my
God. Took a picture with them. So I gotta wear a mask.
Yeah, bro. Anyway, wear a mask. Wear a face diaper.
Did you have anybody spit their antibodies into your mouth or anything? Like, oh, you're over it here. Spit in my mouth. Hey, no, I can't get it. Hey.
Well, anyway,
you're basically, you're your own Pfizer. That's great.
JoJo is fighting Jessica Eye, and they hate each other. I'm excited for this fight because with two girls actually hate each other. I feel like the fight's better. It's like,
are you kidding? That's what half the internet was built on.
And this is the McGregor versus Poirier card. January 23rd.
What's wrong with your mouth today, Wade?
I don't know how to say Poirier. I always hear people say Poirier. I don't know how to fucking say his last name.
Poirier. I'm pretty sure it's Poirier. I mean, that's how they say it on all the UFC programs.
All right, Poirier.
I hope Dustin wins, but I don't know, man. I just – fucking Connor, he's just one of those dudes that, like, if he has a slight mental edge on you, he finds a way to win in a lot of ways. It's like he couldn't get it on Khabib, and he couldn't get it on Mayweather because nobody can get the mental edge on those guys. And even Nate Diaz in some ways, like it's hard to get Nate Diaz's head. The Diaz brothers, are like they're in their own head, but like even like Cerrone seems like a kind of guy you can get in Cerrone's head. You don't know what Cerrone's going to show up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I feel like Poirier's that way too a little bit.
But I don't think people get into his head. I think he gets into his own head.
Yeah,
Cerrone. I mean, we've seen this. Whenever it's a step up, there's something that goes wrong, you know, and then whenever it's somebody on the level or below, he's a Terminator. So I think for him, he's one of those guys that he's in his own way. You know what I mean?
I still don't know what happened to that Conor fight. I don't know how he went down to his shoulder strike. I know it was a punch. People are going to go, it was a punch first. Yes, but that was the worst version. And in the next fight, he looked like a world beater against Nico Price. Like
this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm talking about.
So I'm excited for that fight, though. Conor McGregor is the most exciting guy right now in, I think, all of combat sports. I mean, does anybody create that kind of buzz? Nobody. I mean, nobody creates.
Nobody, absolutely not. No, he's still, and the fact that he has decided, it's so funny. Did he just announce his retirement 3 times this last year? Yeah. Like, come on. And then to come back at the very beginning, January, he's back. You like, and it's just, I mean, no one's ever going to believe it when he says he's retired ever again. Yeah. No one.
Well, I don't wonder, like, no one ever said how much money he made for the Mayweather fight. Like, no one's ever disclosed that money.
You don't have to.
But I mean, what people say it was 50 million. People say it's 100 million. But how much?
I think it was probably up near 100 million because I mean, everybody. I went to a bar and watched that with people, you know, and the place was packed to the gills, and everybody paid like $10, and they paid for all the rights to Sean, and that was one bar. I don't know how you don't make $100 million on that.
Dude, Mayweather. I told you when I met him at Mel's Diner. And I was talking to him, and it was like 2 a.m. And it was like before he fought like Ricky Hatton. It was like earlier Mayweather. And right. I was like, hey, man, you think you could beat this guy and that guy? And I named like 30 guys. And he was like, man, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that guy's a bum. Like, he was talking all this shit. And then he realized that I wouldn't say I was disappointed, but I was like, you know, like somebody was like so cocky, like it became like not fun anymore in some weird way. And he saw that in my face and he goes, you're my man. And gave me like a hug. Like he fucked with me to a point and then liked me. He was like one of those guys that like.
Is that an edited phrase? Did he say man or did he say something else?
I think he said man.
Russell, he could have said dog. He could have said boy. Russell, he could have said the N-word.
Russell Simmons told me I was a funny N-word one time. Like, that was actually...
There you go.
He goes, man, you're the funny... Dude, like, I was expecting Russell Simmons to be, like, just this nice yoga, happy dad, like, spiritual. And when I got to his office, it was, like, Suge Knight. He was, like, straight... I never heard the N-word more times, and then just the stuff he was saying, it was crazy. But it was awesome, Russell Simmons, but it was also before the Me Too thing happened, and yada, yada, yada. It's a whole other podcast, too. So anyway, Mayweather, we're talking about. So according to Victor Ortiz, he's the guy that fought Mayweather that, like, hugged him, milled around, and then Mayweather knocked him out. Remember, he had his hands down. Like, Victor Ortiz was, like, known as the young guy, and he headbutted him. And then he's like, my bad. And he hugged him once, and he hugged him again. Mayweather, like, went for, like, a fake, it's okay. Like, he tapped him, and then, boom, knocked him out, and the fight was over. and everyone was like mad at Mayweather because he was doing like street yard rules. They said it was like prison rules versus boxing. Anyway, so he says that Jake Paul is a bigger threat to Mayweather.
Logan Paul.
No, Logan Paul than Conor McGregor was. He says that I read the article just 5 minutes ago. He said he's been training with Logan Paul in his backyard, in Logan's backyard. He watched him knock out three sparring partners in a row, which is like, what? Who's doing that? And these are pro boxers. Like, he just knocked him out cold. I mean, this sounds like complete bullshit. You don't knock out your sparring partners three in a row. I could see once, but three guys in a row, Logan Paul just knocks out while he's there. That doesn't sound.
Well, you know, you want to cash that check. They're probably like, ding! All right, I'll just take that check. Thank you. Oh, yeah, totally knocked me out. Oh, my God. He hit so hard, you guys. He is going to kill Mayweather. Mayweather doesn't have a chance. This is made out to cash. Thank you.
Meanwhile, my friend used to run a bar. Augustino used to run a bar. And he said that Victor Ortiz got kicked out 3 weeks in a row for heckling.
I was there when that happened.
It was
I don't want to say what bar it was, but it was a small show. They had like a stage and Victor Ortiz was like sitting towards the front and Joey Diaz went on stage and Victor Ortiz like started to FaceTime somebody while Joey Diaz was on stage. And he was like showing the person on FaceTime. He was like showing them the show and he was being a complete, you know, just obnoxious, you know, audience member, but he seemed nice. I don't know. He seemed nice.
Dude, boxers, like, I know that people say MMA guys have CTE. I've met a lot of MMA guys throughout my life. I don't think a couple, maybe you could go, this guy's off, but you wonder how much the cocaine, alcohol, and steroid use and other shit factored into that, like, his brain seemed, and maybe these guys were never even around, like, even when they were in their prime, didn't seem like they were all with it. Boxers are, like, you go to an old boxing gym, people are like drooling. I mean, it is one of the saddest things to see guys that were in their, like, their 30s, like they were world champions, and now they're just not there.
Well, that's kind of the job, you know? I mean, that's why people don't really complain. I mean, that's the thing. It's so funny the way, you know, football is a collision sport. I mean, that's what it is. And people were like, oh my God, they're getting CTE, but nobody raised ruckus about boxers and MMA fighters getting it. You know, nobody was like, they got to stop hitting each other. They got to stop outlaw hitting in the face, you know, because you kind of know that that's kind of the job. But, and I feel like they kind of should have known that about the NFL too, but we, you know, but it's weird the way they made all that ruckus about the NFL. Nobody says anything about boxing and MMA. They just kind of go like, well, you know, you're getting punched in the head. That's kind of, and that is, it's kind of the trade-off, I feel like.
But I feel like I've met a lot of old football players and their bodies are off. They're like,
yeah,
but their minds aren't.
Usually it's knees, a lot of knees and a lot of shoulders.
You're limping a little bit, you know, you meet these guys.
And broken fingers. They always have those mangled ass fingers that they can't point anymore.
I'll tell you who wasn't like that. Who, I'm not a football fan, but a guy came to my show and he was, Marshall Faulk was in amazing shape. Like, you wouldn't even know that guy ever got hit in his life. He was an easy player. Was he one of the best?
Yeah, absolutely. Super Bowl champion with the Rams, the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah,
the guy's a two-time Super Bowl winner. He's unbelievable.
And then Sugar Ray Leonard was at a show one time, and he was there, and I was asking him how much cocaine he did and all this stuff from the stage, and he was such a good sport. There's another guy sitting like a row down, and I had a belt with him. And I'm like, oh, what champ are you? He's like, oh, I'm the Southwest Los Angeles County boxing champion. I'm like, what's your record? He's like 17-40-2. And the whole – it was an all black crowd and people were rolling out of there. Cause then I was making fun of him. Then Chris Spence went to me. He's like, just say you beat 17 guys. Don't, you don't just leave out the 40.
Leave out the 40 losses.
he's like, what the fuck?
Did you explain to him that you were the all New England eighth grade wrestling champ?
Four time class A New England champ. It's been done.
Wee Dog, you gotta enjoy the every time he still clarifies.
Dude, this girl that used to train me, that came down to I won a race in fifth grade. It got basic. I know you won. I'm like, I know you won a race in the fifth grade. Like that, like my whole thing went down to one fucking race that I won. Anyway, what are you going to do? Ben Askren.
I wanted to stay on McGregor because I had a question about that fight. Do you think that fight is for the belt? Because it seems like it's kind of in limbo. It seems like Dana still wants Khabib to come back, but this fight should 100% be for the lightweight belt, right?
No.
Why not?
Because Justin Gaethje is the number one contender. So why does he get passed over? Or Charles Oliveira? Poirier's like, what, ranked third or fourth? And McGregor's, I mean, I don't think
he's Poirier says he's ranked second right now, and McGregor's fourth. That's what it says right now.
You can't have a guy ranked second and fourth right fight for a belt.
We got to have a belt because Khabib says he's not going to come back. He says that this fight should be for a belt. I mean, it doesn't make sense to have a belt in the division. Who cares if it's the third ranked person, the fourth ranked person? There just has to be
a belt. You don't give the belt to the fourth ranked guy. You got
to
have.
Yeah, no, Gaethje has to be involved in that fight. If they wanted it to be for the belt, it should have been Poirier versus Gaethje, right?
Yeah, they got to have a little tournament, like a four.
That'd be great.
Tournament. I don't know why the UFC doesn't do that when stuff like this happens. Even like with when like Cejudo left. You know,
so let me ask you this. Do you think McGregor comes back hungry or do you think he comes back rusty?
It seems like in the pictures, he's in good shape. It seems like he's got a third kid on the way, people are saying.
Wow.
I know he's training wrestling. He had like a little Ireland. It was pretty funny. They had like him and his kid both had Ireland wrestling singlets. And then somebody wrote like, those are the two only singlets in Ireland. Like, but it does seem like they're like, he's a different guy right now. It doesn't seem like he's blowing money on, maybe the paparazzi is they're not as active because of COVID or whatever, but you're not seeing these like parties and clubs and cocaine. Maybe they're not open. Who knows? It does seem like he's sort of
having kids does, it has a settling effect on everyone, on both men and women.
Yeah. So it does seem like that. I like this version of Conor too. I don't really like those press conferences with him and Mayweather, I was almost embarrassed to be an MMA.
Paying $65 for
it. Well, it was just the way he was acting, of making it rain, and like he was just, the whole thing was embarrassing.
But see, we've seen this before. When a guy stops being the guy that made him the champion, they become susceptible to losing. You know, that attitude, that mental game was such a big part of who he was and what he did. Can this new, mature, settled McGregor still win?
It's funny you say that because I remember Manny Pacquiao, when he was coming up, they said he was doing like 130, like Grand Theft Auto. There was like 8 assassination attempts on his life in the Philippines. He was out of control. He had like mistresses every week. Like at the gym, like his wife, he was cheating, just chaos. And he was beating the fuck out of
him. He was beating everybody. That was his best. Exactly. That's when he was at his best.
And then when he found Jesus, he just started getting
garbage.
Knocked out.
Like, garbage. Jesus saved his soul and ruined his career.
I mean, Chuck Liddell, maybe kind of same thing. When Chuck Liddell had like a whole wing in a hotel, allegedly, for like the fuck rooms that he was in. And but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's a weird.
I gotta say, based on the information we've just covered, I'm going with Poirier.
That's one guy, though. That's one guy. I mean,
that's a couple guys. We've seen this many times. It's kind of a weird thing when they settle down. All of a sudden, they're not as hungry. They're not as aggressive. They're not as good. I don't know that that's what's going to happen here. I'm putting it out there because it's what we do.
Yeah, but a lot of guys say that, like that I talked to. How come you lost that fight? I wasn't focused. I was on drugs. I was partying too much. I mean, we hear that a lot too, though. We hear that a lot.
Tyson, same way, you know. Actually, Tyson, when he was under control, was amazing. And then when we lost Customato, he went out of control. And really, that's when his career started to suck. So, I mean, it really, I guess it can go both ways. It's about changing, you know, the formula. For better or worse, the formula that was a winning formula for you. I mean, I think it could be dangerous no matter which direction it goes.
Well, I had a friend that worked that fight, the Buster Douglas fight, and he said that Tyson flew back 3 days before for to pick up a prostitute and like bring her back to Japan with him. Like he was just not. And the fight was at noon.
You know what the funniest thing was? A lot of people don't know this. Funniest thing, he came back, picked up an Asian prostitute. That's what's weird.
Dude, I never watched that one documentary on Tyson. And literally, they got him in the ring, and he's pacing back and forth. And he's like, I got my wife in the front row, my girlfriend in the second row, my baby mama in the third row, right? He's like, and I'm walking around because I had, like, chlamydia. It wasn't because he was angry.
His balls were on fire.
Like my dick was burning. So he's walking back and forth because his dick is burning.
Have you guys had chlamydia? I feel like that's a common STD.
Have you had chlamydia?
No, I might have had it. I've had many times where my dick was on fire for no apparent reason, but I don't think it was an STD, but it could have been.
Dude, your picture is your girlfriend looks so normal, Joe.
Yeah.
And then all I can think normal. About is like the anal sex and the knives and the drugs. I think about all the shit you tell me of you taking her virginity and you fucking with your parents downstairs. And
yeah.
Like, and then I look at her and I'm like, is everything made up? Like, do you watch old B movies that with Eric Roberts?
Dude, it's always the quiet ones, man. It's always the quiet ones.
I'm very fortunate that she's super innocent, super normal. But you know, I feel like I'm the reverse Punisher, like the Punisher superhero. Like, you know, I had a normal life, and shit happened. Then he went off the end, murdering people. I'm like the reverse, right? I had a crazy life, you know, crazy Tinder dates, sex stories, heroin, you know, machetes, and then I got a super average, normal, innocent, wonderful, beautiful girlfriend, and now I'm just mellowed the fuck out now, you know.
I think that's more common though than anything.
Really?
Is usually the way. Oh yeah, you know, I think that's how it went for me too. I mean, I think that's the way it went for Adam. I mean, usually it is, you know, one good girl that kind of like gets you kind of, she's the becomes like the rudder on the boat that keeps you going straight, you know.
Yeah, you got to meet a girl with, like, for me, you know, I had to I was 38, you know, and also the problem with me was I kept upping the antes, you know. It's like, and I, like Sean was saying before last time when he talked about, like, it's the sad life of, like, okay, first it's like, all right, you know, it's just regular girls. You got, then you're having threesomes and with porn stars. And then, you know, I was stripping and I was this and that. And then you want to, like, you keep wanting to, like, up the ante of, and it just, it never stops. And then that becomes the rush. I mean, of course I miss the rush. You miss the, you know, you call a girl that you don't know or from Tinder. She comes over, seeing her naked the first time, you know, or she sees you naked the first time. And that, those are all great things. But then you actually, you meet someone that you want to be around and you have a kid. It just, it's a different kind of high. It's a better high. It's a much more productive high. But I'd be lying to say, I'm sure every guy misses a certain element of it. You know,
I mean, there's always parts you miss, and then there are parts the second you see your friends going through the bad parts of it, and you're like, well, I don't miss that. Fuck all that. You know? Yeah.
And I think that you don't appreciate it too. When you're constantly on Tinder, like I used to do the road, and you could have a thing where you select where you're going to be next week. So I'm on Tinder in Oklahoma while I'm in LA lining up fucking dates, you know? But when you got like three girls coming to the shows, or four or five. And then
that was the one thing that drove me crazy about, you know, I mean, Summer and I, we've been together, I guess, going on 12 years now. So we got together like 2009, I want to say. And, you know, Tinder didn't happen until what, like 2015, 2016, something like that. And so, I mean, they finally got this technology to do the one thing I wanted it to do. Which was just be a pussy finder, and it was too late. I've never gotten to use it, and I'll never get to use it. Well, I missed the whole thing.
People are, you could also dismiss people a lot easier too. People are just like, oh well, fuck it, I'll just go back on Tinder. Well, you
know? And that's the thing, is I feel like I would have been one of those guys who was on Tinder for a little while and was like, fuck Tinder, it fucking sucks. Everyone, nobody, because it seems like, you know, listen, if you got laid at bars, you got laid at Tinder, and if you didn't get laid at bars, then you didn't get laid on Tinder. I feel like there was this imaginary idea that like hot girls were for some reason hooking up with ugly dudes on Tinder, and it just wasn't, you know what I mean? If you were getting laid before, you kept getting laid, and if you weren't, you weren't. You know, that's
I was like copy and pasting the same message.
Oh, I remember that. I remember you copy and pasting. Because one time, didn't I read your copy and paste material one time on one of the podcasts? Like, I got a hold of it and read it.
And then, but yeah, but then I realized that, like, I was putting the same girl, the same name. I didn't even change the name.
Oh, my God.
Like, so, yeah, it was crazy. How you doing, Sean? Everything okay?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Hanging in there. Been driving around like crazy today, making everybody mad that I'm not wearing a mask anywhere I go. So I've been the license branch, the post office, the bank, the butcher shop, the places they all sit there and stare at me. Everyone, they can't believe I'm not wearing a mask. Oh, yeah. I don't know what to say. So.
Well, you're a tough guy to try and enforce that on, I would imagine. I imagine everybody at those places looks at each other like, are you going to fucking tell them? I'm not going to fucking tell them.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable for everybody except me. I love it.
Now, do you give them the same Black Lives Matter speech or no?
I'd like to come up with different stuff, but that's the one that's been most successful recently is just claiming that I'm protesting. Sometimes I told somebody the other day I was a double lung transplant survivor. So I had to not wear a mask. And I apparently that's a real thing. Like, I didn't know that was a real thing. And like, I just made it up to try to be funny. I was like, oh no, I had a double lung transplant. They're like, really? And they start asking me about it. And then it reminded me of the time I was on an airplane. I told a guy as a veterinarian just to make stuff up. And then about 30 minutes into it, he realized there's no way in hell I was a veterinarian. And then we had a real uncomfortable 3-hour ride to Vegas or LA. The best story ever. I'll tell you this real quick. One time, I think I'm a funny guy. I'm stuck at Detroit's airport for 23 hours. Because the airline was stupid. They didn't tell me. They said we couldn't fly because of weather. And everybody else's planes were taken off, just not United or whoever I was with, you know? So I thought that was weird. So I go up there, I'm in a real bad mood. And I said, hey, I've been here for 23 hours. I said, sir, you could have left through another connection hours ago. We just thought you wanted to go direct to Vegas, but we could have sent you through LA. Sent you. I was like, oh, okay. So I've been sitting here in Detroit, exactly where I want to be for hours, right? So I was real mad. I get on the plane. They upgrade me to first class because that'll make it better. I'm going to Las Vegas. This guy sits down next to me and his breath, as my God, my witness, smells like shit. I mean, like dog shit. And just him breathing, I can smell it. So I put on Facebook, I'm not positive. I'm positive that I know what the guy I'm sitting next to on the plane in Detroit had for dinner. I'm just surprised to hear Detroit's now serving shit sandwiches, you know, trying to be funny. The guy ends up talking to me, getting to, like, asking me what I'm doing. And he said, you're going to UFC fight out there. And I'm like, oh, I fought in UFC. And he goes, you're going to fight? I said, well, just to watch. And I'm talking to him. A few minutes later, he's like, what's your name? And I tell him, you know, and we're talking. So I lean over, and, like, I feel like some turbulence hit me and shakes me a little bit. I look up. He's on my Facebook page. He's found my Facebook page, getting ready to add me. And I can see the first line of what I wrote. I was like, it was breast in the indicator. So I said, oh no. I said, that's my fan page here. And I grabbed the phone out of his hand. Like, I don't want him to look because that's going to be really uncomfortable, right?
Right.
So I grabbed the phone out of his hand. And then I'm like, he's like looking at me like, and I was like, here, let me get to my fan page. Hold on. I said, I will get to know that one. And then meanwhile, I'm trying to change what I said and then trying to refresh his phone at the same time because it's not working. And so finally, I change it to taxi driver. Because I deleted the status and everybody starts saying, what's with the status on the guy that shit breath on the plane? What happened to that? On the wall. I'm like, oh, no, it's taxi driver. So I start saying the taxi driver in Las Vegas. And so the guy finally gets set. And I was sweating bullets, like, for real. Like, I was like, this dude sees this. He ends up being the nicest guy ever. But so I change it to the taxi driver in Las Vegas had a shit sandwich, blah, blah, blah. So everybody leaves it alone. Or they're commenting, but it's no longer the guy. So I get there. Not even remembering this happened, getting a taxi, the guy starts talking to me. He goes, are you a UFC fighter? And I was like, he said, I know it's from your affliction shirt. I was like, great. Like, I thought you knew who I was. It's just that I'm a douchebag wearing an affliction shirt, right?
Right.
He goes, I said, yeah, we're talking about it. He goes, I love those fights, man. He's like, wait, you fought Mark Hunt? He's like, talking all about it. He knows everything. As I get out of the taxi, he goes, hey, I just added you on Facebook.
I'm like, oh, no.
I'm like, cool. I don't realize until 2 hours later that I had said the taxi driver in Las Vegas. I don't realize that. And then I look, I was like, oh shit. Oh my God, that guy's gonna think I was talking about him. And I look and we were no longer friends on Facebook.
Oh my God. You kept changing it to like, and then you went to the hotel and you put the hotel concierge as the worst shit.
That would have been the next move. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. I felt so bad because that guy's breath was fine. It was just some guy in Detroit. So.
Now we were talking about girls before we get to Tom. Now at one point, I remember me and you got into a feud. On Twitter. That's how I met Sean.
Right. That was that night in Detroit. That's when I started writing you back on Twitter. I was bored.
So he told me I couldn't light up a crowd if it was a Batman premiere, right? And that was the guy that shot up the whole fucking Batman. Like, I was like, bro, I'm not gonna even respond. Like, what? You know, like. So anyway, he's like, his comedy's so bad the crickets were booing. It was actually kind of funny. So, but then we became friends. You told me if I go to Indiana, you fucked every hot girl in Indiana.
Only two. So that's not much of an accomplishment. When you came to Indiana, it was so funny because in Indiana, six is like an LA three, kind of like what's his name's dad, the Hawaiian guy from last week.
Dude, did you ever tell you this time, Greg? So I tell Sean, I'm like, hey, you got to do comedy. You're fucking hilarious. He's like, I'm going to open mic. He drives an hour to open mic. I go, how'd it go? He goes, not good. I go, why? He goes, well, I went up there and I brought a girl that I had anal sex with and I froze. So I didn't know what to do. So I just went, I fucked her in the ass and pointed to her, right? So that was his like, so it's like she like storms out.
Well, that's not exactly what happened.
What is up, people? How's it going? What's going on? Are we ready for some football? Well, college football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend, right? And the NFL regular season is finishing up, but the playoff picture becoming clearer. There's only one place that has you covered, and one place we trust. What's that place? BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code CLNS50 for your 50% welcome bonus, okay? I'm talking about in the NFL, in college football, okay? Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50. To receive a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Yes, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And you got to visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline underscore AG. That's at BetOnline underscore AG. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code CLNS50 for your first sign up bonus, okay? Hashtag BetOnline. Check it out, okay? I highly, 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 highly recommend. It is awesome.
So Toothless Tom, right? The last time I saw Tom Galicchio was at his wedding, right? Now, me and Bree drive to a wedding in Vegas because, and Tom, and I tell my wife, she's like, is everyone wearing masks? I'm like, yes, absolutely, right? We show up to his wedding. There's 75 people, not one mask in sight, right? We're the only ones wearing masks. People are yelling at us to take off our masks at the wedding. Like, we actually got, like, people were like, you have to take off your mask. So then Tom goes down the aisle with his beautiful, beautiful wife. He forgets the wedding ring. Like, he forgets the wedding ring at his wedding. So he has to borrow a wedding ring from somebody in the crowd. Like, they tossed him a wedding ring, right? So then afterwards, I go to give Tom a hug. And I want you to tell me your version of all this. I go to give Tom a hug, right? I go, hey, congrats. And I see that he didn't have his tooth in. So I go, Tom, how come you didn't get – he goes, oh, well, I went to go buy a tooth downtown last week, but I couldn't find one. So I took out my own molar and shoved it in. But it wouldn't fit. My wife is looking at me like, this is what we're doing right now. Like, we go to Vegas, no masks. The guy forgets the wedding ring and puts his own tooth. Tom, will you? I know I fucked up. I told all the stories, but tell me about what happened.
All right, you got it all messed up. I didn't know that we forgot the wedding until my wife told me there when you guys found out.
Oh.
I'm just so used to putting out fires that I was on the spot. I just went out to the crowd and found a ring. Like, let's get the show on the road. next couple's behind us.
Nice.
Now, where did you leave the wedding ring?
No, she left it. The photographer took it out to, like, take pictures of the stuff when the wife was ready and stuff.
Yeah.
So she took it out, and then the photographer never put it back, and, you know, the girl started drinking, and then when they left.
All right, so whose ring, who gave you the ring, like the random ring?
One of Stephanie's friends had one, one of her. Okay. My buddy Joe pulled one off. He had a silicone one. He's like, yeah, I got a whole bag. You could keep that one.
Now, does that even count as a wedding if it's not like the ring? It is, Greg, does that count as a wedding?
Oh, yeah, that counts. In Vegas, sure, that counts.
Okay, and then the tooth thing. You went shopping for a tooth? What happened?
To tell you the truth, I'll give you the honest story instead of that bullshit I made up. The dentist I went to fucked it up 4 times. And didn't get it done in time, so I was like, fuck it.
But you said you were looking for a tooth. Did you actually go to buy a tooth?
No, yeah, I had 4 dentist appointments, and every time I would go, they wouldn't listen how I wanted.
Didn't you try to take a crown and shove it in, though?
No, I was fucking with you.
You believed me,
but I didn't want to stop you.
I believed it, too. We all believed it. We're like, what a guy. That guy eats nails and craps thunder. Like, that was like the most legit tough guy move ever. I wish you hadn't ruined
it. Then we go to the hotel, and I loved everything about this wedding, right? Because, okay, so I'm with Hendo, and I'm talking to Hendo, and we're getting into, like, QAnon theories, but, like, I'm like, yeah, this guy is crazy, and they believe all of it. So then we go into the hotel rooms, and they're serving Chick-fil-A, right? Which was awesome. But only 4 people are allowed at a time.
Yeah, the security fucked with us the night before. I almost got into a fist fight with the security at the Golden Nugget.
Wait, what happened?
Well, they were letting everybody's in, and no problem. Night before the wedding, I had 3 people helping me carry stuff in. Security's, you can't have these people up with you. Sorry, COVID, you know, only 4 people to a room. So then I fight with the hotel manager all night before my wedding, and then they got it. I could bring 20 people in.
And then we were sitting, it was like that. And then I'm sitting next to Keith Berry with his porn star girlfriend, who he's fighting with. She's like 23 or something. And I was like, I love your work. I know she was, as a joke. She did not find that funny at all. I was like, I'm a big fan. What's your name? Like, I was just trying to be funny, but like nothing. I was fucking bombing pretty hard. All right. So now you move to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to open up an MMA gym.
Yes.
Tell me about that. How's that going?
Look, well, our grand opening was December 1st. Right. So hopefully January 1st, we'll have our first day.
Okay. Okay, so you're opening up. Now, why Chattanooga?
You know anybody out here who fights?
No.
No.
Yeah, me either. So, you know, there's 200,000 people here. They need a gym. And
That's genius. Don't open another one in Vegas or in fucking Phoenix or something. Exactly. Yeah. Where there ain't nobody.
There's a trip in California next to Hendo's gym.
Yeah.
I heard he moved down there because of that old saying, in the land of Chattanooga, the man with most of his teeth is king.
All right, so you're in Chattanooga. Now, I looked at your flyer. Your flyer seemed like it taught every class. You're like, MMA classes, wrestling classes, want to punch your boss in the face. Like, it kept going. Like, did your boyfriend beat you up? Like, you have like thousands of classes. Are you teaching every one of them?
Pretty much. My wife's going to do the ladies and help me with the kids, but I'm like a pocket knife. I'm just going to do it all. I know it all. I'm going to do it all.
Okay. McCorkle, any thoughts about the Tom's new gym?
No, it's awesome. I'm just wondering, like, I couldn't help but think, if he just would have put that tooth that he pulled out under his pillow, maybe a wedding ring would have appeared, like a tooth fairy would know what he needed at the moment. That's what I was thinking earlier. So
now you told me you had so many funny stories to tell me. Well, tell me what are some of these stories?
Okay, so I was planning on being open December 1st.
Yeah.
I thought it was, we're just going to tear some wall down and put some mats down and piece of cake. No, I've become a carpenter. I've become, I got good at painting. Who would have thought that? Hopefully I won't have to use this skill. I got all these skills I don't have to, hopefully I won't have to use. But probably the hardest thing I had to do was become an ice road trucker.
Talk to me. Explain to me. What are you talking about?
Okay. So.
All right. Let me back it up.
Let me back the ice road truck up. I got all my mats in California because I figured I could buy some used ones out there. Gyms are shutting down all the time and people are getting new mats. So I ended up buying all the arena's mats. That's the arena, Yoshida Barrett's old mats. Got them at a great price. I refurbished them down in California. And then it came time to get them shipped. I had 5 different shippers drop the ball on me. And they were left in my old garage in California. And then when those shippers dropped the ball on me, the last time they were supposed to pick them up, they got left outside on their pallets with no way to get back in. And the truckers told me they couldn't do it.
So what'd you do? You drove from California, Tennessee?
I looked into renting a U-Haul, flying out and renting a U-Haul. But if you want to rent a U-Haul in California, it's like $4,000 off the gate. It's no one-way U-Hauls. They all leave California. None are coming back.
Right.
So then I looked into Vegas, and then it was $2,400. So I'm like, I could fly into Vegas, do that, pick it up there, drive back, $2,400. Then my shippers, then I said, all right, somebody told me they had shippers that could help me. And then they got left outside. So I looked at a round trip from Chattanooga, and they charge you by the mile, $1 a mile. That's a lot of miles. It's like $4,000 or $5,000. So I found this little loophole. I booked a one-way from Nashville to Chattanooga. And then I had my wife, and I was able to book it up to 5 days. So I had my wife drop me off in Nashville because it was 2 hours on the way. And I drove from Nashville to California, to California to Chattanooga.
Oh, my God.
5 days.
Wow. Yeah. Last time I was in Nashville, I got kicked out of a bank for trying to cash a fucking bounce check that a college booker said it was. I had to go. I'm like, where's the check? It's in my office. And I went to the office, tried to cash it. Like, this is bounce. Then I drove to the college gig. It was a Christian school. They didn't tell me. And the kids were all getting credit for being there, either that or like church. And then within 3 seconds, the lady was like fucking giving me the slash. I had already lost money on the plane ticket. I had a bounce check and drove 4 hours. I get off stage, she makes a beeline at me, yell at me. I'm like, just so you know, this fucking check bounced. I don't have to be here right now. I'm doing you a favor by not getting you fired. And she was like, okay, cool. And shook my hand. So, all right. So now you have a gym. You're the only instructor, you and your wife.
Me and my wife. Actually, we got another guy, John Billison. He was from California.
Okay, and then where are you guys living?
We got an apartment. I was originally going to live in the gym. That was the original plan. Like, let's just get out there and live in the gym. Actually, the plan before this was buy an RV and live in an RV in front of the gym.
Right, I'm sure your wife was thrilled about that.
Yeah, she was thrilled. She was just happy we were getting married.
Right.
And, you know, buy a place of your own house, and we could move in any state you want.
Okay, so now you guys have an apartment and you have a gym. Do you have any members yet?
People are showing up. The police reached out to me. The criminals reached out to me. You know, everybody.
Wait, what criminals?
You know, the local thugs around here, they reached out.
We prefer to be called Latin Kings.
Has anybody actually joined the gym, like paid you for the gym?
Well, no, I can't take payment yet. I don't have that set up.
Okay.
We're opening, but I can't take payment yet. I figured everybody gets a free week anyway. I'll figure it out in a week.
All right, Tom, we got to talk about this, dude. You got to have an actual business plan because everyone's just going to show up and not pay you.
Well, they got their free week. So
okay, once their week's open, you're running their credit card first, and then you bill them after the week starts. Like, you can't.
Are you at least getting? Wait, are you at least getting their email addresses?
I got their phone numbers.
Okay, that's something. There you go. Okay. Try and get their email too. Try and get the email as well.
Okay, listen. You know how you sign up for a website, they take your credit card info, and then you get billed in a month or something?
Yeah.
You gotta get, if criminals are joining a gym, you think they're just gonna pay you in a week?
Well, listen. You know, of course, they're gonna get kicked out.
They didn't pay anything. They're not members. You can't get kicked out of something that you don't actually belong to.
Listen, Adam, quit making sense, okay? We let the guy run his business. The first thing he's got to do is he's got to drive the credit card to Chattanooga, okay? Then he's got to use an ATM in Nashville. And then he'll log on to a computer and PayPal it once he gets back to North Carolina, where the fuck.
All right, so you have no actual.
I got to figure it out. Listen, okay. In a week, when I have all that set up through whoever's going to run my credit card, there's a couple of companies. We're not going to plug any of them, but you know, it gives me a week. Everybody gets a free week, so I don't need their credit card. That's a little personal. Hey, what's your credit card? What's your social security number?
No, I know, but this is a business. Now, are people allowed to work out because it is COVID?
I don't know. Yeah, sure. You worked out in California.
No, you can't.
I'm not stopping anybody. What do I look like? I know there's defund police, but I'm not stepping up as a volunteer.
Yeah. Do you have any showers at the gym and bathrooms?
We got about 2,000 square feet, so we got a sink.
Hey, they got a bucket marked men and a bucket marked women. They've got one bucket with a big number one, and another bucket with a big number two. You just figure out which bucket you got to use.
Right, what's this gym called?
Militia MMA.
Militia MMA. Now, I mean, did you meet with anybody who has like who runs a gym before, or any business plan? And people, or because most gyms don't make it.
Yeah, most gyms don't make it. I hear that, and I could see you worrying over there for me. But don't worry.
You know, I don't know if we need to be worried so much about a plan, because the last guy that went to Tennessee in an RV with a plan ended up blowing everything up. So I don't know.
All right, now. Now, what do you think about, okay, so we have a Don Fry, you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you, yeah.
right on time. All right, so you're here with the Corkle, Ween Dog, Greg Wilson, and Toothless Tom, who has a gym now. He opened up a gym in Tennessee. He has no paying members yet, but he's got 2,000 square feet, and he's teaching the classes. Now, your last business did pretty well. I don't know if you know this, by the way. So Tom went on a Craigslist, opened up, and bought a candy thing, like I think a candy dispenser. And then he went around and he bought like a bunch of them. Before you know it, he had his own candy business, and he was going to bars and putting in the candy machines. And you had a whole thing. You had like what, 50 fucking candy things? Or
yeah, what? I was a thousandaire.
You were a thousandaire. Did you sell that company?
Yeah, I did, actually, to a UFC fighter, Jared Vandera.
Okay. So, and how's he doing with it?
He's dead now.
He's in the UFC now, so hopefully he's still keeping up with it.
Right. Now, Don Fry, have you ever run a gym before?
Yeah, I did. I did not enjoy it. Probably depends on your clientele. That's all. That's the bottom line.
Now, okay, how many people? How many members do you actually have, Tom, right now of your gym?
How many do I have?
Yeah,
I don't know. We didn't even have the first practice.
All right. Are you paying rent for this place?
January 1st, rent starts. I didn't pay rent during build-out. I'm about a day away from build-out being done.
And how much is rent?
It all depends. About anywhere from 1,200. I think it ends around 1,400.
1,400 a month. Okay. Well, we got to
1,200 now.
So we got to get some paid people, right? Sean, any advice to Tom about running this gym?
You know what? Big John McCarthy told me he ran a gym with like 800 people, members. I guess they all wanted to be referees. But no, he ran an MMA gym, and he said, get kids. He said, parents don't want to, they're too lazy. They don't want to do anything, but they'll pay any amount of money for their kids to do a sport, especially the real insecure parents that want to have a tough kid. So he said, yeah, he said, target kids because fighters never pay their dues. Adults, they'll try it for a month and quit. But he said, kids will be forced to go, and their parents will pay any amount of money, 100 a month, 200 a month, whatever, as long as their kids are progressing or having fun. So that's what he did, and he made an awesome living with a bunch of kids.
No, that's true. That's true about most karate dojos. I mean, they don't make their money teaching adult black belts. They make their money teaching 100 kids for 3 hours a day, you know? And then they have the night class for adults and like, okay, cool. But all the money is made on the kids.
Greg, you have any advice for Toothless Tom on his gym?
I just did it.
Ween Dog, any advice?
I think the kid idea is a great idea. I go to 10th Planet Burbank. Well, I haven't been there in a while, but it seems like they had 50 kids there at a time for the children classes. I don't know how much they charge, maybe like $150 for a month per child. So it has to be a great killing if you have a decent number of kids in your gym.
How much is it a month, Tom, for your gym?
For my gym, $99 for adults, $79 for kids.
Okay.
That's very real. Any parent will pay that, dude. You get those $79, you can crank those out.
And how many classes per week?
With kids, we're going to set 5 a week, one every day, Monday through Friday.
All right.
And we're going to separate it between like 7 and under and 7 to 12 and up.
I know. Are you going to start
fighting? I think you can. If you're going to give them 5 classes a week, you need to double your price for the kids, man. That's a lot. Because parents, again, for parents, it's just about not having their kids occupied for a certain amount of time, you know? So if you're going to do that, give them the opportunity to come 5 days, you should double your price on the kids.
Oh, we will. It'll all come eventually. This is all pre-opening stuff. We're just trying
right.
to get
it. I get it. You want to bring them in, right? Get it going. Yeah. All I get it. I believe. You know what, Tom? I get you, and I believe in you. Fuck these other guys.
Now, Sean had a business that didn't go very well. Sean had a fight. He had a fight business. I don't know. He had MMA fights, boxing fights, hot girls doing pillow fights, and then you had like a pudding fight, and then in between, Sean went up. Told the whole crowd every girl he fucked in his life. He had a list of 120 girls that you read off. But you got sued because people thought the pillow fights were fixed, right?
No, they just the commission didn't appreciate having girls pillow fight between MMA fights. They were like, we're going to be here all night with this, right? I'm like, well, if you guys would have approved more of the matchups, I wouldn't have to do so many pillow fights. Like every 5 minutes, they were saying, you can't do that fight, you can't do this fight, you can't do that, like changing their minds. So I was like, okay, well, you're staying here till midnight anyway, because I'm getting a percentage of the alcohol sales. So we're going to be here till midnight regardless. So we'll just come up with something else. And one fight, I had a guy that's in prison for hitting a girl in the face with a hammer right now, but he was a pro fighter. I had him go out there. He was supposed to wrestle 2 or 3 pillow fight girls, but I told the pillow fight girls just to punch him in the face real hard and kick him in the balls. And they did. They just jumped him for real and beat him up. It was the funniest thing ever.
Okay, now,
I gotta tell you, Sean, anything that you say that ends with the funniest thing ever really usually isn't.
That's only because I started with, I watched Brendan Schaub's comedy special. It was the funniest
thing. I gotta tell you, you cranking him on that comedy special is the only thing keeping it relevant.
Now, Don, you recently asked me for a number for the Tempe Improv. Are you doing stand-up now?
No, I'm going to sit down.
That makes sense.
Are you doing comedy for real?
No, I got Rob Snyder's going to be up there, you know, for New Year's Eve. So I'm going to go up there and see him.
Oh, and, yeah. Yeah, weren't you in Rob's movies?
Yeah, I did a movie with Rob. Yeah. 12 years ago, I guess. I don't know.
Which one was it?
The Big Stan. It was Big Stan, the prison movie.
Right, yeah. Right.
That was a hilarious movie. You ever see that movie, Sean?
I had a great time. I had a great time making that
Rob
movie.
Schneider's Rob going to prison. Schneider. He's going to prison. Yeah. So then he learns how to, like, beat everyone up in prison by sticking his finger up their ass, basically.
Rob's a great guy, man. He's a great guy. Shit, but I'll tell you what, he's a good person. He really cares about people. That's what's really good about it.
Wasn't Bob Sapp in that movie, too?
Oh, yeah, Bob Sapp. He stole the movie. Bob was fantastic. I think he stole the movie. He did such a great job.
Now, Sean,
I'm going to have to check it out now. That's one of the ones I haven't seen.
Now, Sean, you told me that Bob Sapp told you that he had like 3 months to live. So he was throwing all his fights to raise money for like a village or something. And that right. was 9 years ago. Right. So.
What I heard was, I talked to Bob, I fought on the same card as him in Japan. If you call it fighting, we both got beat real fast. But Bob is one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life, man. He, like, most generous, nicest guys ever. And he didn't tell me that, but his assistant told me he had real bad liver trouble. I probably shouldn't say that, but that he was real sick and he was just trying to raise enough money to take care of the people he cared about before. And he said people keep saying he loses MMA fights, but he said if the promoter tells you beforehand, if you're in Kazakhstan and they say, hey, we need this guy to beat you in a third round by armbar, he considers it pro wrestling at that point. You know, he said like if they're telling you well, this is the way the match is going to go, this is what we're going to do, and you need to lose and we'll pay you extra to do it, then he said it's a pro wrestling match to me. And he cracked me up because he said they paid me an extra $40,000 to lose. What they didn't know is I was going to lose anyway. Like, he's a separate out of 40 grand. I loved it. I think he's an awesome guy, man. I love
that. That is the funniest. But that's a good story that he loses to raise money. He's got 2 months to live. But then but then I'm like, wait a minute.
he's still kicking.
Yeah, I was like,
I feel like that was a self diagnosis. Like, he's like, I feel like I only got a couple more months here, so let me just do this. And then, lo and behold, there he is.
We've all been there.
All right, so let's talk about some more fights. Kevin Holland is fighting Derek Brunson. That's what they're saying, that they're going to make that fight.
Wait, one second. Kevin Holland is now saying that since Leon Edwards and Khamzat Chimaev, their fight got canceled because Khamzat can't make it January 20th, Kevin Holland is now calling to fight Leon Edwards January 20th.
Ooh, I think Kevin wins that fight.
I do too.
I do. Now, he talks so much shit. Now, we have three pro fighters here. Did anybody talk shit to you during your fights? Tom, you first.
James Krause.
What did he say? What? Who's that girl? Is that your wife behind you? Keep taking pictures?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it?
Well, she's probably looking for a wedding ring.
Wait. Sean,
that's not a girl, that's Jesus Christ. Oh my God, how did you get that wrong? He's right there over his shoulder.
I feel like that's like the creepy elf on Christmas, but like a human version.
Elf on the shelf. So
back it up. It's actually pretty he's suffering a lot on this cross.
Oh man, that's not my favorite.
Yes, because he's probably thinking about the prospects of your gym. So.
he's worried about your payment system.
So McCorkle, has anybody talked shit during your fights to you?
I've had guys. One time, I picked a guy up and slammed him, and he said, "Holy shit, you're strong!" Like after I slammed him, which I thought was a weird thing to say, like to talk. And then one time. Said, how are you doing to me when I was punching him in the face? Like, I hit him once and we were like, I was on top and like trying to regain position. He goes, how's it going? I was like, what? threw me off for a second, you know? So, but yeah, that was the only time I remember.
What about you, Don?
No, Gary Goodridge, their first two fights, you know, I'd hit him. Goddamn, you're tough, you know? Shit, you know? And like you said, yeah, just. Like you're strong, you know, and but then third fight you didn't have to say anything to me.
What about Ken Shamrock? He didn't say anything to you?
Oh, we didn't say a word to each other the whole time, you know? Not a damn word. We almost didn't say anything after the fight, but Dime Metz just says, come on, guys, knock it off. Shake hands. So guy made his forehead out of our asses, you know?
Now, do you think he threw that Kimbo fight? It looked like he threw that fight.
Who?
Ken Shamrock.
He didn't fight Kimbo.
Yeah, he did. He put him in Bellator.
Oh, did he? I thought he cut himself before the fight.
No, that was
that was the first time.
That was the first time. The second time, they tied up, and then he had Kimbo in a rear naked choke, and Kimbo just got out of it for some reason. Like it was weird. It was really weird. All right, so.
He probably bet all the money on Kimbo. So yeah.
So Sarah McMahon is fighting Juliana Pena in the BMF belt, the baddest MILF fighter. Two hotties, two sexy women. It's gonna be a good fight because I think Juliana's got striking advantage. Sarah's a silver medalist in wrestling, so you got to give her the advantage of wrestling. It's a good fight. I like this fight. A lot. Who do we like in this fight? Ween Dog.
I'll probably pick Sarah McMahon. I thought she left the UFC, though.
No. Kat Zingano did.
Oh, okay. Well, I got Sarah McMahon all day in this one. It's going to be a good fight.
Sean?
I'd say Juliana Pena. I just want to say, man, that I for one, miss the old days when MILF stood for, I stood for mentally ill. I'd say Juliana Pena via more well-rounded.
How many single moms did you bang back in the day, McCorkle?
Golly, virtually none, man. It's that I knew of. But I had a girlfriend that had a little girl. She had a little girl, a girlfriend, had a little girl. It was a really cute little kid, man. I was always a sucker for little kids, man. Like, I miss mine being little so much. It's ridiculous. My daughter's 22 now, so eventually she'll get married and have a kid, I would assume. And although it'll kill me to be a grandpa, like, I can't wait to have little kids around again. Like, I watch the videos of you and your little girl, man, and it, like, almost breaks my heart because I remember how fast that all went for me. You know, it's amazing how fast it goes, especially if you're working all the time.
Yeah, but your girl's smoking hot and young. She doesn't want to have kids?
No, she's going to. Oh, you mean me and my girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a whole nother story. I'd have to tell you that at a different time.
You got a vasectomy?
Maybe. So, you know, you're not. So.
You can always get a reverse one.
Are you faking orgasms? Are you faking orgasms?
Yes, most.
Are you like, the best one, and then you just fucking roll over, go to the bathroom and go like,
when I don't even know you. Matt Mitchell was talking about having a vasectomy. He's like, dude, if you have a vasectomy, just don't ever tell any girl you date and make them think it's something wrong with them. Like, well, I got kids. I know it ain't me. You should get checked.
That's horrible.
Matt Mitrione, that was his plan. He goes, hey, if you're worried about that, just tell them it's them. I'm like, okay. They can't make you take the test. They can't make you. I was like, okay.
Don Fry, what were you saying?
I say he only fakes orgasm when he's with you.
He doesn't have to fake it with me. We're both faking it.
Now, Don, how many grandmas like hit up you in your DMs and stuff?
How many what?
Grandmothers.
They have what? I didn't hear what you asked. You're broken up.
How many grandmas are you banging?
Shit, I don't think any. I've been off the market, you know. I just trying to heal up. So, you know, they're all safe right now, you know. But once I get back out there, I'll end up putting them back in a walker in a wheelchair fast.
That's right. That's right.
Don, what's your age limit on a woman you would bang, Don? That's what I want to know.
Oh no.
Fuck, age is just a number, man. It just depends on what they look like and how much money they got.
Dude, did you ever see that, like, Hall of Fame speech? It's the most, if you want to watch, like, I think it pretty much started the Me Too movement, was when Don Fry inducted somebody to the Hall of Fame. Who would he, and he must have
Sakuraba.
Sakuraba. He must have hit on Misha Tate 75 times during the speech. Like, he goes up there, he's like, he's drunk, and he's like, oh, there's a fine piece of water over there. Oh, look at that hot, tall glass of ass. Like, it was, like, it had nothing to do with Sakuraba. Like, Sakuraba was like, there was about 7 seconds of Sakuraba, like, oh, he was a good fighter, a Hall of Famer. But fucking Misha Tate, wow, I want to put my mustache on that. It was one F, it was the most disturbing speech. It was hilarious. Every social justice warrior on Twitter was like, I can't believe this. They're like, get Don Fries out of control. Like, this is like my grandfather. It was the funniest.
Was it disturbing or was it funny? Which one?
It was a lot. Was a lot of emotions went on during that thing.
No, bullshit. There's disturbing about it. It was an adult event and an adult conversation, you know.
Exactly, Don.
People can't handle it. Then, you know what? They can't handle it. They shouldn't be watching adult entertainment. You know, God damn it, for grown-ups.
100%.
It was all jokes.
It was funny. It was hilarious.
Jeez, quit being a pussy, Adam.
I'm not being a pussy.
Raise your hand.
It wasn't really about Sakuraba, but listen, it was definitely the most highlight. You couldn't stop watching. It was must-see TV. Don Fry.
I haven't even seen it. Did they ever put it on the internet? I've never even seen it.
They put
it
during the AVN Awards.
What?
it aired during the Porn Awards. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I think it is on the internet. I'm sure if you just Google Don Fry, Sakuraba Hall of Fame speech, UFC.
I thought they cut it out because the social justice warriors got offended, you know, bunch of faggots.
It was so funny. how many times did you mention Misha during that speech, you think?
Hell, I don't know. I don't know. It was all for fucking fun. It was jokes, you know. I thought she enjoyed it. I mean, I saw her, I don't know, a year later, I don't know. And, you know, she came up and gave me a hug. You know, I'm crying.
No, it was great. No, when she got out of rehab after that, she was fine.
Yeah. It was after she went to the...
It was hilarious, though. Don, it was really funny. It was fucking ridiculous, though. Holy shit, was that funny. What are you going to do? Talk to me.
By the way, since your special came out on Fight Pass, I actually signed up for Fight Pass a couple of weeks ago. And I have been watching every single UFC event, starting from UFC 1. And I gotta pay my respects to Don Fry right now. Don Fry, you are the fucking man. UFC 8, UFC 9, UFC 10. You are a fucking savage, dude. You are a god amongst men right now.
Thank you. Who is this? I don't have video, so
that was, Wing Dog,
that was me, Greg. That was me, Greg.
That was me, Tate. That was me, Tate. So, no, one of the funniest things, though, was Don's first fight was against this, like, 400-pound Puerto Rican guy.
Thomas Ramirez?
And Don Fry looked, you know how, like, remember, you ever see Rocky? And then Rocky has, like, a funny comment for his fights to, like, either to Mickey. He'd be like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in real life. Don Fry turns to Big John McCarthy and goes, if he knocks me out, don't let him eat me.
Yeah, that was scary, man.
That's crazy. And then John McCarthy didn't laugh at all, right?
No, he didn't sell any of it, man. He's like, you got no sense of humor. He's a cop, you know? They don't laugh at anything. God damn.
You know, my favorite funny thing Rocky said to Mick before a fight was, hey, you remember when I date raped that slow chick from the pet shop?
Oh, come on. This is...
I remember that part.
This show's taking a weird turn. A really weird turn.
Hey, Don, are you still doing a podcast with Dan Severn?
Yeah, we're getting that ready. I'm trying to put that together to launch it either middle or end of January.
It's going to air on MySpace.
It'll be on the Christian network.
The Christian network. So funny. So, all right. So what else we got going? So Logan Paul, like we talked about before that, you know, Victor Ortiz says Logan Paul is a bigger threat to Mayweather than McGregor was. I can't fucking believe that. There's no way. And
Ben Askren shit.
Ben Askren agreed to fight Jake Paul. And now he's saying that Jake Paul ghosted him. Who do we like in that fight, by the way, in a boxing match? Tom Galicia.
Ben Askren.
Really? In a boxing match?
Yeah, he's probably done enough striking over more than Jake Paul or whatever the guy's name is. Why is he even famous anyway? Who is he?
He's just some YouTube kid, but he's got millions of followers. Who's the best guy you ever sparred against?
I don't know. Well, I had a fight with Don Fry, a fighter.
You what? You spar with Fry?
Well, Don was one of our coaches on The Ultimate Fighter. He came in for a couple days.
What was that like?
Everybody kept calling him my dad because I was big and hairy like him.
Now, who's the guy that you trained with back in the day? McCorkle, the guy that you said was the greatest ever? Your coach?
You mean Tom Erickson?
Yeah, who wins, prime Tom Erickson or prom Don Fry?
Don Fry, I know that because he wrestled under Tom Erickson. So in a fight, I don't know, man. I know Tom is way bigger than Don, but Don is so manly. I don't know, man. I don't know. Who do you think, Don, you and Erickson?
I tell you what, Erickson, he was the assistant coach. One of them, when I was at Okie State, he used to bounce my head against the wall like it's a basketball, you know? He's a tough. That guy is so damn tough and strong. He's amazing.
Wow. So, but you
people think I'm joking. He literally beat me and Matt Mitrione up at the same time. Like, literally beat us both up at the same time. We tried to jump him to get him off his feet, and he just ragdolled us. Like, it was like a Steven Seagal movie without the ponytail. Like, it was something else.
Now, Tom, were you there when Dan Henderson and Sokoju fought? Like when he first opened the gym?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, Sokoju was the reason Dan didn't go on fight John Jones.
Why?
He injured him in practice, tore his knee with it was like some sort of inside trip or outside trip, one of these like slick judo things where, you know, if you stop it sometimes and it goes the wrong way, tear your knee.
How good was Sokoju?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Sokoju was really good. He still is. He's a monster in the practice room. Just fight time, I think he definitely fought down a level. But, yeah, he was a monster in the room. He was so talented. I don't know if it was a change of coach along the way or something. I wasn't there for Sokoju's prime.
Tom booked me at a comedy club that he put together. It was me. I headline. And also doing comedy was Sam Alvey, Tom Galicia, Toothless Tom, and Sokoju doing stand-up. Sokoju did pretty good.
He did all right. He said he bombed the next week.
He did better than Sam Alvey.
Oh, Sam did the worst. Sam was the worst.
Sam's just so nice.
He forgot to put like jokes in his story.
He just talked about his day. He didn't really tell anybody. He didn't tell any jokes, but it was fun. Well, one of the funniest stories about Tom Galicia, Greg. So Tom calls every gym, and he's already like the M1 champion. He has nowhere to train, and he just calls the gyms like, "Hey, can I come train?" No one gets back to him except for Team Quest. They're like, "Yeah, you could train here." He moves to California from New Jersey, just gets up and leaves. He's like 16-5, just walks to the gym. Nobody knows who he was. So they pair him with Ashley Yoder for 2 weeks because they think that he's a random guy at the gym. Yeah. They pair him with a 110-pound girl. At what point did they realize that you were not just some jabroni off the street?
Like, well, eventually I was in pro practice every day, and then somebody like turns to me and goes, "Hey, who are you?" I'm Isaiah. Who are you?
That is so funny, man. Fuck, that's great. Yeah, Don, did you ever go to a gym where people didn't know who you were and you fucked everyone up?
No, I just there wasn't really that many gyms going doing this stuff, you know, when I started. So, but you know what? Then overnight, all these karate gyms became MMA gyms. You know, it's amazing.
A lot of people got upset, by the way, but about you calling karate guys pussies, right? People got mad last time you said that these guys can't take a punch. Somebody said that Benny the Jet would have beaten you in his prime. There's no way, right?
What? What's that?
Somebody said Benny the Jet would have beaten you in his prime. You would have killed Benny. Benny Jet's good, but you're Don Fry.
The Jet, doesn't he weigh like 120 pounds?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's kind of ridiculous to even say something like that, right?
That's what I said. That's what I said.
People are stupid. That's all there is to it. People are stupid.
Is there any karate guy? Is there any karate guy in the world that could beat you in your prime?
No, there's none. Because karate guys, they didn't train to fight. They trained not to fight. You know, how do you win a fight and you train not to fight?
So wait a minute. So I'm a karate guy?
Yeah.
Because I gotta tell you, I train not to fight all the time.
Yeah, you grab your keys, you run to your car, and you drive away. That's training not to fight.
But you forgot the critical step of stopping at Taco Bell on the way home.
So prime, right. So prime Chuck Norris versus prime Don Fry. How does that fight go?
Oh shit, man! I'm gonna disrespect Chuck Norris. Go on.
Listen, first of all, they don't fight. Their mustaches fight.
How do you think it goes, John McCarkle? Prime Chuck Norris, prime Don Fry.
Don Fry all day. I will disrespect Chuck Norris. Like, I don't think anybody wearing jeans that tight can do anything, like, fight-wise. Like, there's no way he couldn't even – he didn't even throw a kick on Don Fry with those painted-on jeans.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, I was fighting. I was like, dude, you don't understand. There's nobody. Don Fry was the UFC 8 champion, the ultimate champion. I mean, I don't think there was a guy in the world that could have beat you that night. Like, for real.
Don Fry is the real Chuck Norris. Like, everything Chuck Norris pretended to be in movies, Don Fry was.
Like, I don't know. Mike Tyson in his prime couldn't beat Don Fry in his prime in an MMA fight.
Not in MMA, but in boxing, you knock my head off. You know, jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference. There's a complete major difference between the two fighting styles, and that's what people don't understand.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Now, do you still have your Speedos, your American flag Speedo?
You know, hard hitting questions. You know, they don't fit like they used to, but, you know.
Still smell the same, though.
Now he knows how Chuck Norris felt with those jeans.
Now, will you donate a pair of Speedos to Tom Galicchio's gym?
I only got one pair of those, baby. I only got one pair of those.
Prime Steven Seagal or prime Chuck Norris? McCorkle.
Oh, fuck. Steven Seagal is a fucking joke. He's a fucking joke.
Exactly. Yeah. I second that.
Did you ever work with him on a movie?
No. I met him once and I was not very impressed with him, you know. I mean, he's everything you expect to fucking meet, you know. It's like he's a walking cardboard cutout.
Wait, so what happened at this meeting?
Not that we just shook hands, you know. I mean, he was invited to watch the premiere of Godzilla Final Wars. The director invited him, and he was a guest, and he brought like five or six people with him, you know, and he's in front of us. And then this prick gets up and walks out during the movie, you know. Yeah, like he's a fucking expert on movies, you know, on making good movies. Jeez. That fucker never made a good movie in his life.
I don't know, man. Out for Justice was pretty good.
Did he have four or five people with him, or did it just look like he had four or five people inside his leather coat with him?
They were carrying his lunch.
What about Prime Van Damme versus Prime Seagal? Who wins that fight?
Oh, fuck. They're both two frauds. You know, Van Damme was a fucking gymnast and a dancer, right? And Seagal, he was a fraud. I mean, all day long, crime and I would go with Van Damme on that one. I'd go Van Damme on that one.
Yeah, you hear about Van Damme went to Team Alpha Male, and it was like the week after Cody No Love lost, and he was trying to show him a kick and then kicked him in the face. And then Cody was like, "What?" He had a concussion, like he got knocked out. I was like, "What are you doing?" And then Van Damme like started crying and like I started bowing to him, like, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And then like posted the video of him kicking him in the face, not crying afterwards.
It's hilarious.
Well, in his defense, he was trying to kick him in the shin. It just was high enough to kick Cody in the head. But
dude, he got like his show canceled. He had like the number one show, I guess, on Amazon Prime, and then he made a speech and like cooked out of his mind. And they took away the show like at the upfronts. That was the number one
show.
Yeah, Van Damme, what a fuck. Like, how many chests? And now he's all like vegan and saving animals and shit. I don't know, man. I gotta say,
Bloodsport. He's doing what?
I think he's like saving animals. I gotta say, Bloodsport's my favorite, one of my favorite movies, though. Like, if that movie's on, I'm gonna watch Bloodsport over and over again. You know? You ever meet Don?
I was watching that the other night. I was rooting for the black guy that they stereotyped as a monkey type fighter that was like the whole time. Is it racist to root for that guy or not racist to root? I don't know what to think, you know, because they obviously made him a monkey stereotype and he's hopping around. And then I was like, if I want him to win, am I supporting it? I don't know. I felt weird.
I've never seen anyone have that fighting style since then. Have you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen him crawl into the fucking cage like a monkey. So fuck. You know, the damn doorway, you stand up and you walk through it. You know.
All right, Joe, that one's out too. Okay.
Mark it.
All right. Well, so listen, what do we got coming up? Greg Wilson.
For me, you know what? I'm the Comedy Institute, my comedy school, we're cranking back up. January 12th, we'll be starting the first 5-week program of 2021, and it's on Zoom. So anywhere around the country, anybody wants to do stand-up can join it. So check it out at thecomedyinstitute.com. And on New Year's Eve, I'm doing an online New Year's Eve show. So if you want to see the online New Year's Eve comedy show, that's check my social media, and it has all the promo there.
And Don Fry, who I still feel bad for saying your speech was not disturbing. I take that back. That's going to bother me all week. Okay. It was not.
It should bother you. It should bother you.
It haunt your dreams.
It should bother you because I'm going to come down there and I'm going to reenact it in your fucking face.
I apologize.
You think Freddie Mercury did some damage in dreams? Wait till I come to your head.
You mean Freddy Krueger? Freddie Mercury?
Freddie Krueger.
I was thinking that too. I was like, Freddie Mercury? What's he doing in your dream?
I ain't coming there. You know.
I'm going to jerk off on you while singing We Are the Champions. So Don Fry, what do you have coming up, my friend?
We're just putting that podcast together. Dan and Don's Toxic Masculinity, and we'll be kicking down the doors In the middle of January or the end of January.
Well, listen, I don't listen to many podcasts, but I will 1,000% listen to Dan and Don's Toxic Masculinity.
For sure.
I can't even. Can I help book the guests? Because I want to throw people into that situation.
Sure.
Listen, who says there's no truth in advertising anymore? That title feels like it's right on the money. And I love you for it, Don Fry. You're the greatest.
You are the greatest. Don, here's how I know like you're amazing. People that disagree with you politically on everything still love you. That's when you know somebody is a good person. When you don't believe in anything they say, they still love you. Like, you really are the Archie Bunker of 2020.
And 2021.
Yeah. Like, Tom Bellicchio, plug your gym. Where can I? Is there a website? Is it on Instagram? Do you have any type of social media for this gym?
Yeah, Militia Mixed Martial Arts. Militia MMA on Instagram. Actually, I think it's Militia Martial Arts on Instagram. But just type in Militia and an M, you'll find me. Yeah, we're opening it up January 1st. Then we'll be taking the money a week later.
Wait, so if I
type in Militia MMA, let me ask you, so do you have a gun check at the door? Or do they actively just wear the guns during the training?
If they don't have one, we give them one.
You think that's why you're attracting criminals to your gym? That it's called Militia MMA? You think maybe that's like...
Well, we got the cops first. They sent me an email. They're like, we're stoked. We're at the police station and we can't wait to go in there and step up our training.
And then, listen, we started with Militia MMA, but then after this, there's going to be Proud Boys, popsicles, and ice cream. So that's his next business venture. So he's got a whole thing worked up. And then, you know.
Yeah. So if you're wondering where the next police brutality is going to take place, Chattanooga, Tennessee is going to be now the
Mecca.
And just wait till next year when he opens up KKK Krispy Kremes. That's going to be all the best elements are cut. And it's going to be like one of those places at the airport where they're all in one place.
By the way, do you have the most teeth in Chattanooga? Anyway, so, and Weendog, what do you have coming up?
Go follow my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Weendog.
Okay. And Sean McCorkle?
My plan, man, is I just moved, but I'm going to put my house up for sale. I think I'm going to move to Chattanooga. Join a gang and learn some MMA for free.
There you go. Oh, genius.
Now, Sean, if you wanted to coach right now, could you?
I want to do coke. Is that what you said?
Coach. If you wanted to coach.
Oh. I mean, I guess I could. I don't know much about MMA, but I could coach something. I could coach people like steroids and be bigger and stronger than everyone.
Steroids. You can coach steroids?
Right. Yeah, I'm real good at that.
But aren't you a black belt? You're a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I only wore a gi for about the first 3 months because I didn't like the teacher, so I started going no gi. If I was out of the, like, with no gi, I'd probably a purple belt, I would say, skill-wise. So.
Didn't you tap the teacher the first day or something?
Yeah, like both of them. I went, there's a Brazilian guy that claimed he hadn't been tapped since he moved to the United States, and I tapped him the first class, and then my other teacher, I tapped him too, and I'd only been training both times like a few months. So let's have them both out. Then I went to Extreme Couture with only about a year's training to tap their grappling coach in front of about 30 people, and he did not like it at all. So,
what happened?
It wasn't the real good. Not Neil Melanson. He's their guy. I never rolled with him, but they had another coach out there, another grappling guy who was a high level black belt, and I tapped him pretty quick in like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and everybody was like, "Holy shit!" Like they were. I don't know. I just had one move that I was good at and just would do it over and over again. So as soon as they learned that, I couldn't tap anybody.
Was that the one you hit the World's Strongest Man?
Yeah, same thing. And what I got Mark Hunt with, all variations of that same Kimura, I could hook it up. I could put it on from almost anywhere. You know, I just got really good at doing that from all different positions. And then I would straighten it out to an arm bar. Most people like keep cranking the shoulder, but I always straight to an arm bar from all different positions and it would catch people by surprise. And I found it by accident. I didn't really know what I was doing. So.
Well, listen, my special's on Fight Pass right now. You get 2 weeks free on Fight Pass if you sign up right now. The next, you get 2 weeks. And I'm in Vegas every night. I'm in Las Vegas at the Strat. In January, I'm going to be doing a show with Gerald Harris at the Tulsa Looney Bin, as well as Springfield, Missouri, January 15th, 16th, 17th. So, and then I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, the 23rd.
You know, it's weird. Tom gives 2 weeks free, and he's an idiot. But Fight Pass gives 2 weeks free, and they're geniuses. Doesn't seem like it works out. Tom's like, oh, I'm just going to give guys a few weeks. Oh, you're crazy. Well,
they make you give your credit card first. Then you get the 2 weeks free. Oh, they'll just give you 2 weeks free.
And Tom, it really is the point that that was the point Adam was making.
Tom, do you have a credit card? Do you have a credit card machine?
I'm getting one from Amazon. It's all good. I trust my product. If you don't like my shit, you don't have to come. I don't want you there, but I trust my product.
I like that attitude. That's the right way. Exactly. If they want to be there, they'll pay to be there.
Now, and then how's your insurance? So somebody gets hurt.
Insurance will be handled tomorrow.
All you got to do is have them sign a waiver and you're good.
Yeah.
Get a waiver. Download a waiver. Go to LegalZoom. Get a waiver.
Yeah.
McCorkle, have you ever met anyone with a lack of a business plan like Toothless Tom?
Yeah, when I went into the marijuana business in Michigan, that was a terrible idea. So,
oh, yeah.
It was a terrible idea because it was still a crime at the time.
Marijuana grow, literally, from funding a legal marijuana grow to trimming weed and taking it across state lines and selling it by the ounce because the guy was making me go broke. Like, it was ridiculous. So, yeah, it got bad real quick, so I got out.
How much money did you lose?
About $15,000 of my money, $15,000 another guy's money, who ended up trying to sell meth to get his money back and went to prison. So I'm sure he's got a little surprise for the guy that ripped us off in Michigan when it's all us. And so.
All right, we're going to.
Wow, solid ending. You got a lot, you know, Ween Dog, you got a lot of work to do on this episode.
Yeah. Episode will be released. In-
Greg, have you ever met anyone with a lack of business plan as Toothless Tom?
Listen, I respect what he's doing. I think, let him run it. That's the beautiful thing about having your own business. You can run it any way that you want. And if this is the way he wants to run it, then God bless you. I wish you all the best.
No, your wife seems very smart, though. She's Italian. Is she helping you with any of this?
Listen. It's like this, Adam.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be built done a month ago. Apparently, it was a lot more work than I thought. But we went from planning to, we're doing it by the day now to get the shit done. We have a list that we knock off things of it each day.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck.
You, man. Listen, it's tough to do, but you're finding your way around everything. You got it, man. Just keep pressing forward. Well,
I wish I would have done that.
Hey, I think he's got much better business plan than Bellator.
That's a good point. Tom, will you send us t-shirts so we can promote your gym?
Yes. I have the t-shirts. We're already doing that, so I don't know when.
That's one of the things they say. If you want to start a good gym, you start with the t-shirts. It's like any good restaurant starts with a banner. So you got it all worked out, my man. I love it.
We made the t-shirt and then we decided to build the gym around it.
Of course. Well, good luck. Thank you guys so much. Happy New Year, guys. Love you guys.
Take care.
Take
care. Have fun, guys. Talk to you in the new year.
Real quick, I did hear that Tom's wedding inspired a movie. It's going to be called Dude, Where's My Ring?